It's time for sports here on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
So I was all set to talk to you yesterday about three triple plays in a week and a half for the Yankees. Yes, the triple play they turned the other day was a standard, very well-run triple play. The other two were full of base-running errors. I guess I don't know what to say other than the fact that it's just a crazy year in Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball sucks. Yeah. That's what you can say. It's terrible. It's garbage. It's an unwatchable product.
It's amazing. Like I said, this triple play was an actually good triple play. It was done exactly, but whenever you
get... Yeah, I saw it. The guy on first, I think he was eating... The guy from home plate running the first, I think he ate a sandwich on the way.
Well, that was the one thing about it. It did, you know, if Billy Martin were coach of the Yankees, Billy Martin would have gotten a fight with him in the dugout. He would have.
Not only that, I mean, what was that guy doing?
Yeah, but,
I mean, I watched it, and I'm like... I'm watching it develop, and I say to myself, there's no way this is a triple play. And how the guy from first didn't beat that out, I don't understand. That's what I mean. It's an unwatchable product of baseball. You got the bases loaded, you're losing by one run, and you hit into a triple play, and you don't even bust it going from home to first. How do you watch something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, I did something I never do yesterday at 5 o'clock. I watched the Mets, and I watched Jacob DeGrom, and he passed a major league record yesterday. It was his 12th straight start with one or zero earned runs. Bob Gitson previously had the record for a traditional starter. Of course, when we compare DeGrom to Gibson, they're different times in Major League Baseball
because
history.
Because DeGrom's doing it pitching 5 and 6 innings, and Gibson did it pitching 9.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant, which brings me to the story I want to talk about today, which is the College World Series. And Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son, is the messiah of pitching, as they call him. A couple of things. This kid goes 9 innings. This kid threw 114 pitches yesterday, okay? And when the geniuses on ESPN were confronted with the question of, why can Jack Leiter throw 114, 115, 120 pitches a game and the major leaguers can't? It was silent. And the answer that they gave him was, well, he gets more rest. Seriously? That's the answer you give these people? He can get more rest. It's baseball's a joke. Baseball is nothing more than smoke and mirrors. Yet DeGrom's putting up fantastic numbers. Can you imagine Bob Gibson or Sandy Koufax being told all you have to do is pitch 5 innings?
Yeah.
What would their ERA be? .0001? It's ridiculous. And going back to this thing with Leiter, how they're saying how good he is. I didn't see him pitch a lot this year. I watched him yesterday. He's a good college pitcher. He isn't Dwight Gooden or Sandy Koufax. Jack Leiter's 21 years old, okay? In this year in college baseball, he gave up 14 home runs. He gave up one home run yesterday, which was a missile, and his team lost 1-0. So he gave up 14 home runs this year in college baseball as a 21-year-old pitcher. Here's Dwight Gooden's numbers as a 21-year-old pitcher. 2 years in the major leagues, he's 41-13. 23 complete games, ERA of 2, 11 shutouts, 544 strikeouts, and 20 home runs. As a 21-year-old pitcher, 2 years under his belt in the major leagues. That's a pitcher. That's a guy that went 9 innings. And the ESPN guy that said he gets longer rest, Eduardo Perez, maybe Eduardo should call up Dwight Gooden and ask him what the difference is in pitching now and then. Because the pitching now is absolutely terrible. When you have a 21-year-old kid in college that can throw 120 pitches a game, and you have guys in the major leagues getting paid $35 million a year, can only go 5 innings, something's drastically wrong with that pitcher.
And now they've got umpires checking the pitchers when they come off the mound in the first inning to make sure they don't have anything to
cut. Total lunacy. Total lunacy. You know how you check? You know how you check if somebody's cheating? When you see an abnormal pitch, you look at the ball.
Yeah.
You look at the ball. You don't go out and say, okay, where's this, where's that, where's this? Okay, good. It's like walking into a classroom and a teacher says to you, okay, stand up, let me see, empty your pockets. You have any cheating notes? Okay, good, you're good. Let's go. And then the kid pulls out something from his shoe.
It goes against the grain. It really does. Well, anyway, there's
so
that.
So DeGrom or whoever that they check in the first inning, what happens when you get three outs? Where do you go?
Yeah.
In the dugout, right?
Yeah.
And you were checked already, but now are you being checked every inning? No. It's a facade. It's all fake. Yeah. It's all fake. It's to say, look, people, we're doing our job. We're looking. No, they're not. They're putting on a show. It's a total joke.
All right. Hey, the Islanders got whacked you last night.
Well, if you're going to lose, that's the way to lose.
Yeah. It's true. 8-0.
I'm glad they got walloped because this way I was able to watch the baseball game, which I'm going to go back to again because there's another good, believe it, a lot of good stories out of that baseball game last night. Yeah, the Islanders got smoked 8-0. The game was over after like 2 minutes. And the good thing is that wasn't a deciding game in the series. They come home and play in the Coliseum tomorrow night, and it's a must-win situation for them. I think they could win. They played terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
They just played terrible, and if you're going to get smacked, it's a good thing to get smacked 8-0, because how many times you see these games flip around where the team scored eight goals or eight runs the day before, and then the next day they can't score one. So I think the Islanders have a pretty good chance in winning the game tomorrow night.
All right,
and
so
back to the baseball game. A super story. I mean, this is the baseball that people should be exposed to, but the media doesn't tell them anything. North Carolina State started their season 1-8. 1-8, turned it around. I think they finished like something like 36-16, something like that. Won the ACC tournament, won all their regionals, and they're 2-0 in the driver's seat at the World Series. They had a freshman pitcher last night who barely broke 90 miles an hour, basically a two-pitch pitcher with change-ups and fastballs, dropped occasionally to throw him a different point of view coming from the sidearm, and had Vanderbilt eating out of his hands. It was a pleasure to watch this kid pitch last night. He set him up with change-ups. He set him up with fastballs. He pitched behind the batters the entire night. Just a pleasure to watch this kid. Leiter pitched well last night, gave it one home run, was a 1-0 game, but it was baseball the way you're supposed to see it. It wasn't these guys just rearing back and throwing the ball down the middle saying, I hope you don't hit it and I hope you strike out. It was actually pitching. And if an 18 or 19-year-old kid in college, a freshman, can do it to one of the best teams in the country, why can't major leaguers do it?
Yeah. I want to touch on one more thing before we go, and that is yesterday the Supreme Court really put a hurting on the NCAA, which makes millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars off of the athletes. They opened the door by saying that college athletes can be compensated. Now, folks, we're not talking about money here. This lawsuit wasn't about actual money. What it was about is, and the UConn Husky men's basketball program were one of the leaders in bringing this, they couldn't get a certain amount of meal money. They couldn't get a laptop computer. Like students sometimes can get laptop computers from the school and everything like that. College, these athletes, and yes, they did get a big benefit by getting a free ride, but still, it was the NCAA is just making so much money off these students, and
totally not true, totally fake, another fake news story.
Nah.
My nephew plays Division I baseball at a major college in the country. They get everything they want. I can't tell you how much paraphernalia he got from Adidas to wear. He gets computers, he gets tutors, he gets everything they want. This is nothing except about the money. That's all it's about. It's not about the poor kid sitting in a port-a-john trying to get a Wi-Fi feed. It is absolutely positively not about that. It's only about the money.
But is it right? See, I don't mind the schools making money off the athletes, okay, because they're the direct ones giving the free assets. But the NCAA, to me, is just a money-grubbing, huge organization.
Well, what sports league is it?
Gilly, you're right. You're right. No, you're
what
not.
Sports league is it? And these colleges are giving students free education, which is priceless. They're giving you a free education, which costs about, in my nephew's case, $72,000 for a year to go to the college he went to. Okay, $72,000, and then you go on from there in football and basketball and make millions. Well, guess what? If you're going to get paid to participate in your college sport, pay for your schooling. There are no scholarships. Zero. You want to go to Miami? You want to go to USC? Okay, yeah, well, you could play on the team, but you have to pay for your education. Oh, I don't have the money right now. Oh, I guess you can't come. It's a double-edged sword. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay? For as many of these kids that go on to have professional careers, there's five times the amount that drop out. Five times the amount that drop out. And what happens to the college that spent the $70,000 for the year or two for that kid to play sports and the kid dropped out? Do they get back the $150,000 for that kid or for the other 10? No. That's what they don't tell you. They tell you what they want you to hear. They don't tell you the full story. The NCAA makes money, yes. The NCAA loses money, too.
I'm not at all opposed to the colleges themselves that actually give the grants and everything like that, have a more of a control. But I just think that the NCAA goes too far.
So does the NFL.
Yeah,
how much money does the NFL make?
You're absolutely right.
What about the guys from the 60s and the 70s that played football and they can't say ABC? They don't get a dime from
them. I think you're absolutely right there. I'm just in this case talking about –
I know you're not, but that's the story they're telling people. They don't tell them everything.
You know,
don't tell them everything.
I just think that the athletes that still have their names used and everything like that by the NCAA, by the NFL, and everything like that, and they're not included in some sort of reparation. I just think that's wrong. So, we'll see what happens. I'm not necessarily against pay for play for college athletes, but if college athletes get paid to play, then they shouldn't get scholarships.
They're not college athletes anymore; they're pros.
They shouldn't get scholarships if they get paid
absolutely.
To play.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
And go buy those books and buy those computers and pay for the tutor and do all that stuff.
That's exactly right. I think that they could end this all very quickly by saying, okay, no scholarships. We will pay them for playing, and it'll be on a year by year basis. Not a four-year basis, a year-by-year basis.
Well, it can't be 4 years because they don't stay for 4 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a year-by-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would end the whole situation. And
well, if it does, and I agree with what you're saying, just think of the can of worms that's going to be open when the college athlete has lawyers and they have their own union now that the colleges are screwing them. Yeah. It's a Pandora's box you don't want to open.
Yeah, but it'll open up a lot of other money for other students that want to go to college and can't afford to. That's the way.
See, but here's the difference. Here's the thing. When you play pro sports, you're a professional athlete, right?
Yeah.
When you go to college, what are you? You're a student athlete.
Yeah.
You're a student athlete. Not an athlete student, a student athlete. That's what people don't understand. And it's all blown out of proportion by the media, because the media make these kids something they're not. They're not professional athletes. How many first-round draft picks in the NFL that were supposed to be can't miss played in the NFL and did good? How many of them in baseball? How many of them in basketball? It's the media. The media is the root of the evil. It's not the NCAA, and it's not the NFL.
All right. All right. Nice conversation this morning, Mike.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's I love when we get into these more in-depth looks at the world of sports, which we can basically call the world of money. All right,
it is.
We'll check with you on Friday.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Good
Mike.
Luck to the Islanders tomorrow.
Yep. All right.
Have a great
care.
Day, guys.
Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on the Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.